I would rather have a day job than be a Pokemon master.
Han Solo is clearly more attractive than Indiana Jones.
I would take the Star Wars trilogy over the Matrix trilogy any time.
The Legend of Zelda versus Super Mario. Who's better in bed, Jafar or Gaston? And would Thanos masturbate with the Infinity Gauntlet or not? Every week, Nerd Rage the Great Debates brings you the funniest comics, writers, and podcasters to settle some of geekdom's most divisive topics. Find us on Spotify or wherever you find podcasts.
To the Escapist Comics Podcast. I'm Jessica Balboni.
And I'm Jesse Hitt.
And today we have a special guest all the way from New York. Brooklyn, New York? Mm-hmm. Brooklyn, New York. We have Michelle Fife. Hi, Michelle. Hey. How are you today?
What's going on? I'm doing great.
Awesome.
Listeners may know.
Thanks for calling me.
You're welcome.
The writer, artist, colorist, letterer. Publisher, editor.
Yeah.
He actually makes the staples that hold the spine in there. He's got a small forge in his backyard in Brooklyn there.
Control freak, for sure.
Yeah. Of copra. Or is it copra? How do you pronounce it?
Is it copra or copra? Copra.
Rhymes with Oprah. Yeah.
Okay.
Like the meat. Is there a meat called
copra? Yeah. Copa.
Copa, yeah. That's what it is. I'm adding letters.
I should have called it that.
I mean, it is kind of a meaty comic after all.
It really is.
Yeah.
That was a compliment. It was.
I took it. What's going on?
Thank you for being on the show today. We super appreciate it. And congratulations on the recent publishing of the new number one of Copra.
Of course. Thank you.
Yeah. We're super excited to have it in the store. Of course, we already had the all five volumes. That mm-hmm. Image just, I guess, repressed. I like saying it that way. It's like vinyl. It
sounds cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Limited edition. They're limiting it to however many they can sell.
Yeah.
And then they're going to stop producing them once people stop buying.
Jesus, Jesse. God.
I think that's how it works. I'm not sure.
Yeah, sometimes. So, like, how is it like going from like literally? I mean, you were self-publishing Copra and your other comics too for such a long time. Like, how is it like going from like doing all that hard work just from all and then like diving in to going for an Image number one?
Oh, it's awesome. Cause I mean, now I could just concentrate on making the actual comic, you know, cause yeah, like self-publishing, it's dealing with so much more than just creating the thing, right? It's like, you know, dealing with invoices and printers and paper stock and shipping. And, that was cool at first, but then it just got to be too much. And now luckily Image handles that pretty well, I think, historically. But that's the way I built up my audience and my relationship with stores across the world, pretty much, within my limited resources. But now with Image, that's just going to expand. So we'll see where it goes, man. Now I could just finally concentrate on making more comics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have to deal with deadlines too, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, my deadline was always as soon as possible, you know, made a comic as quickly as I could humanly make it, right? So the first year I was on a monthly schedule, so I know I could kind of hit that clip, and hopefully I'm going to be getting back to that, especially now that I'm more focused. So we'll see.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Do you have any advice for other people who are like trying to like self-publish and like, I mean, what were your goals when, I mean, you said it's as quick as possible, but like when people are just like starting out, because we have a huge small press section here at the store. So that's a lot of our clientele. So what kind of advice do you have?
Well, it depends on what you want to put out, right? Like when I first started self-publishing, I was doing kind of like one-shot stories with a previous title called Zagus. And that I maybe published one every 6 months or one of them took me up to a year because it was a side thing. It was a hobby. But once I wanted to take the next step and to possibly make it into a career, I had to make a monthly thing, you know? So a serialized comic is what made the most sense. And so, yeah, it really depends on whether you want to make like a cool, intricate collectible or something that's going to hit the stands with some sort of regularity. And, yeah. and if that's what you want, then you have to sort of really take the schedule seriously and not meander, you know, the way I did. Yeah, I would take forever on making comics. But with a monthly schedule and with subscribers that depend on you delivering a thing every month or every 6 weeks, I really had to like, you know, get my shit together and make it happen and make pages. Or just put pages out the door. And without an editor, you really have to just discipline yourself into doing it. And it's not impossible. You just can't. You just can't mess around. You know, you just can't get sidetracked, which is so easy to do as a freelancer or just as a creative, just as a person in general, especially these days, you know? So really just focus. That's the main thing. Just know or try to figure out what it is you want and just focus to try to get it out there.
Yeah. And you're pretty heavy on like the social media aspect too. I know a lot of people try to stay away from that, but would that be like something you'd tell them as well?
Yeah, it's like a promotional tool as a way to connect with potential readers.
Well, these days it's a balance. You got to do it. I mean, you don't have to do anything, but it helps. It certainly helps.
Yeah.
It could distract you. You know, I mean, you could lose like, you know, sometimes I just want to take a 10-minute break and check up on my friends or whatever, and then I lose an hour. So you really have to be mindful of that, right?
And yeah, totally.
That's not something I really had to deal with in the, I didn't have to deal with that like even 5 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
So it's necessary, I think. I mean, I certainly use it, you know, to update people and just to show things that I like, really.
Yeah.
But you gotta respect your own time too. You gotta be wary of that for sure.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, that's because I was definitely aware of your work like before, but that's how we got you on the show is I found you on Instagram posting about the Suicide Squad, and I was like, oh yeah, like. I remember he does really love the Suicide Squad. Oh yeah, that's kind of like what Copra's
sort of a loving tribute.
Yeah, and then I found like your old comic that was a tribute, literally a tribute of Suicide Squad, and I saw like your list of like all of the members, and I was like, those are the weirdest members of Suicide Squad. And I saw like all of those comments about it, and people like didn't even believe you that those were members of the Suicide Squad.
Unbelievable.
So yeah, well, how did you get into the Suicide Squad? I had to ask you. I have to ask you these questions. Like, how did you first get into that comic? And you were a kid, right, when it first came out?
I was like a baby child. I was like nothing. I was like it was one of my first comics. It's actually the first comic that made me fall in love with comic books as a not only a medium, but just to like go back and I had to read the next one. It's the first one that hooked me. So that's, I mean, it really goes way back. I mean, I was a little ass kid. I was like 9, I think, when I first read it. And it was a random issue, you know, that my mom picked up at a 7-Eleven. And ever since, I just made my own little fan comics on the side, learning how to draw, learning how to make panel borders with balloons and words. And I mean, you know, the most basic thing, right? It taught me the fundamentals of comics, essentially. And it made me a collector of the form. And I never looked back, seriously. So, I don't know. As an adult, I would revisit some comics. And sometimes those comics aren't as great as you remember them being. But Suicide Squad was an exception. I mean, it's still great. It's still... Even last week, I kind of revisited a couple issues just because I wanted something. Because I just felt like reading a random issue out of order. And it still held up so remarkably well. And I shouldn't have been as surprised as I was. But it's still so good. It's sharply written. It looks beautiful. I think it's timeless, even though it talked about current events when it was coming out. There's something great about it. And like you said, like that little tribute that I made was just me sort of making a tribute just out of love. Just, you know, I had the options of either making fan art or making, you know, writing huge blog posts, you know, sharing images and why, you know, essays about why I love them. And I figured, well, I'd rather make a comic book. That's what I do best. That's what I really want to do. And that's the thing that led me to Copra. I figured, well, I can't do my thing within the DC Comics platform, but I could certainly do something similar and I could certainly self-publish it. I had already been self-publishing. So I'm like, well, I'm just going to put it out in the world. No one asked for it, but here it is anyway. And so here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. What I love when you do like those character sheets too, is something they like did in like the 80s and 90s.
Yeah. The bio and the stats.
Bios
and that shit.
And
I love
stats.
That. Yeah.
It's like such a type A personality trait. It's definitely what I would do as well. You literally describe everything about them, and you even do it like in the back of Copra about yourself too. Is that like a normal thing for you? is that a type A personality? I would do it. So
I guess so. I don't know. Maybe it's like a cheap version of a Tinder profile. I don't know. I just wanted to put information about myself. I figured it for the first issue, it was the first time people are going to be aware of me. So I wanted to put everything in there, like character profiles, my own profile, like this is who I am. This is what I like. This is what you're going to expect from this comic book, sort of as a mission statement in 40 pages, especially the story itself, even though it continues from the previous arc, it's kind of like the ideal Copra story. You know, it has action, has personal intimate moments, with fleshed out characters. And that was part of the package, you know, me delivering it, you know, like I'm a fan too. I'm a human being. Like, this is what I like to do. And this is what I'm going to deliver every month. And, I don't know. I've just always, specifically with the Suicide Squad, that's something that just got me so into it, so into comics, right? But also like the universe of DC Comics, you know. So it was like my gateway book for not only DC but comics in general, right? And so I try to sort of like channel that in my own comic. So that's why I was kind of comfortable making this a number one. So even though it's not like a neat starting point, it's a good starting point. And it sort of harkens back to like when I discovered the book out of order and it didn't matter. It still compelled me to go back and like to move forward with it, but also go back and discover what I had missed. And I don't know, man, I hope I succeeded. I hope it works.
Oh, you did a really good job.
Yeah.
I hadn't read all of the other books either. And yeah, like in the beginning, you know, it's like, okay, I'm introduced to these characters. You put a little bios in the beginning so I know who they all are. Mm-hmm. And then in the back of the book, you have everything that has happened like up until that point. And it's very well organized. And I was like, oh, well, now I know everything that has happened. So I am all caught up. But I still want to go back and read. It still made me, like you left like cliffhangers at each one pretty much. Yeah. So I still want to go back and read everything else that happened. So congratulations.
Well, that was
a very
good part.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad it worked.
Yeah, definitely.
No, it's tricky just because, you know, you don't want to spoil too much. You don't want to like lay every detail out. You want to give just enough to be clear, but also hope that people are like, all right, let me check that out. That sounds really cool. Let me just go see how he laid it out, you know, ideally with the very first issue. But thanks. I'm glad that worked, especially those flashbacks. That definitely is a type A personality behavior. So
yeah,
and that was really, like, to be honest, that was really to remind myself of all the stuff, because I had taken about a 2-year break to work on other projects, and so when I was getting back into revisiting this world and these characters, I had to make sure that I knew where everyone was. You know, I have so many plot lines and layers to these dynamics and personality traits and stuff. That I wanted to make sure I got it right. So it was a good exercise for me to summarize it, you know, to boil it down.
Yeah, you have like a good timeline too, to like get it all straight.
Yeah, like a good jumping on point too for new readers who maybe just were caught by the cover and picked it up and were like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good place to jump on.
Totally.
Perfect. Awesome. Yeah, I hope that happened too. Like, I've been told that's happened a couple times. I really hope that does happen because I did cater it to that hypothetical reader, but also, you know, being loyal to the audience that has stuck with me since the beginning too. I didn't want to give them like a recap issue, so it's like, you know, I left them on a pretty severe cliffhanger, so I had to honor that as well. So I don't know, I'm glad it worked. Yeah. Sounds like it, yeah, like it did for you too. So that's cool.
Yeah. We are a starting point to recommending the comic to the comics world. So
yes.
Yeah. Also, like, you use a lot of mixed media as well in the comic. Like, what kind of tools are you using? And, like,
yeah, how's your process work?
Yeah.
It's mostly hands-on. Like, like I use color pencils and watercolors and sometimes paint, you know, acrylic. And then just inking on the boards and lettering on the boards. So the when you see the original art, it's basically complete. Cool. And that's something that, you know, it's tricky. It, you know, the way it prints, I've always shifted paper stock here and there. So it's always different, you know. So yeah. it's an evolving thing. But that's usually how I work, only because it's fast, you know. Mm-hmm. Like when I'm drawing, it's just that I don't want to say super speed, but I just need things to be made as available as possible. And mm-hmm. so I just pick up pretty much what I have next to me, which is like all these tools, right? Like all these old brushes and sometimes crayons if I have to color something and want it to have that certain feel. So it all has this very organic quality to it. And and that's I just like that look. I rarely ever see it, and I really like the comics that have that. And applied to a superhero narrative, I think that's what makes it look maybe a little different.
It does, yeah. You can really see that too, and you don't see that like at all anymore because everything is so digital. And like, call me old fashioned, but like I really love that look still, especially in like the older comics and like from the 60s and whatever. There was watercolors or whatever they were still using back then, like the paints, the old colored paints. And so seeing this, it's so refreshing to have that like older color palette, like feel to it as well.
It's like watching a movie in 70 millimeter versus digital.
Exactly. And then have all like the like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Copra, 70 millimeter comic. That's... Ooh,
you should do that. Copra now in 70 millimeter. You can totally use that.
I'll take it.
That'd be a pretty small comic book, though, right? If pages were 70 millimeters wide. It'd be tough to read.
Actually, be 70 millimeters. It's a joke, Jesse.
Okay.
But yeah, anyways, it's just really, it's really refreshing to see that.
No, I appreciate that. You know, all those older comics, like, you know, from the 50s to about the 80s or so, they had like this kind of the flat coloring really worked, I think, especially on like newsprint paper. But there was also like a period where sometimes you would see painted comics with a ink overlay on it, you know, sort of like a Dark Knight Returns. Like that process was very much like that. Or like any Kyle Baker comic, like Dick Tracy or Justice Incorporated, anything like that was like little color pencil here or charcoal there, but with ink line over it. And I just love that combination. So it's a mix of like the flat stuff and that more like hand-drawn, hand-colored stuff as well. Plus, I mean, I letter my own stuff, and that's just weird already, or weird to begin with. But I got to say, it's not that weird in, say, like the indie world, in the alternative scene, where like cartoonists just do their own thing anyway. But because I'm doing it on like a monthly, you know, adventure comic about revenge and bloodshed, it's that's kind of like it's an oddity, really. So it stands sort of in between. You know, it's really weird for the Wednesday Warriors, but I don't, you know, art kids like it too because it strikes that chord. So
exactly.
I don't know. It's just all, it's what I like. It's like I get to channel all the stuff, all the extremes, you know, that really interest me, whether it be manga or European comics or old comics or even new comics that still inspire me. So, which is like, you know, it's a feat in itself, like trying to remain inspired. You know, you don't want to burn out doing this stuff. You want to still be excited when new books come in. I'm sure you two know that feeling, you know, where sometimes it could be a little bit too much, maybe. I don't, you know, I used to work at a comic book store, so I know that feeling. So that's the thing. I just try to surround myself with stuff that excites me, to sort of like, you know, to make this train go.
Yeah, especially these days. I don't know if you look at a previews catalog recently, but I swear it gets bigger every month. And you're like, it can't possibly be any bigger. Oh my God, it's 900 pages.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I don't miss that. I don't envy that.
But then you get gems, you know, like your book.
Yeah.
Like I can't think of any other books that came out this week. But we had yours, so that was good.
A bunch of good stuff.
Yay.
Something Strange Over East Berlin, that weird alien one was good. Oh, that's cool. That's fucking solid. I just read it this afternoon. How do you, you know, we're talking about you sort of being like a one-man operation in writing, drawing, coloring, lettering. Like, how the fuck do you do that, man, and stay on schedule? Like, what's a sort of a, do you have any like time management tricks that you use, or like what does an average day look like to you when you're working on an issue and you're on deadline? Like, how do you manage to get it all done by yourself, like in time?
An average day is like constant. It's just constant. Mm-hmm. And I've been learning how to take breaks and try to like pace myself. But really it's just about breaking down each job per week, mm-hmm. you know, or per couple of weeks, you know, get the writing done and completed in X amount of time, and then penciling, then inking and lettering. Mm-hmm. And I just keep editing every step of the way. So that's how I go through my drafts. You know, I don't work from a first draft. It goes through mm-hmm. several stages. And really that's just it. Just sticking to a schedule. And if you mess up, if you slow down, just allow yourself the wiggle room to kind of work out of it. But that's pretty much it, because like I mentioned, I don't have an editor. I don't have a staff. I don't have anyone kind of looking over me. I have to kind of be in charge of that myself. So I teach myself how to do that, you know, because essentially this was the big step from comics being a side gig to being my sole gig. So mm-hmm.
right.
if you treat it like a job and it's no longer like a vanity project or a passion project, you have to do it. You have to show up. Mm-hmm. So it's either going to your other day job or doing comics, the comic you've always wanted to do. So that's kind of like the perfect motivator. And that's pretty much it, really. And then that's the thing. This is a job, but it's also my passion project. You know what I mean? So there's that balance for this project. You know, I've had other jobs where it's just a straight up gig, but this has both. I have to treat it and respect it as if it were a job, but also it's mine, you know. I got to take like really good care of it. So, but I can't be precious about it. You know, I can't be too slow about it. I just have to attack it. I have to respect that schedule. So that's all it takes, really.
Yeah, I can't imagine like not. I also just started writing recently with another comic writer, and I can't imagine like not like we like, you know, edit each other basically. But I can't imagine not having that, because I would never get anything done, probably. But I also work two other jobs too.
Yeah. So. Well, that's what I sort of followed by that. Like, when and how did you make the jump from comics as your side gig and like a day job during the day to like comics full time? Like, when did that happen? And like, how did you manage that? Any tips for aspiring creators out there?
Yeah.
Well, honestly, it was crunching numbers. It was when I was self-publishing a thing here or there, you know, the Zegas issues. Once in a while, I figured, well, if I could do this every month, if I could do, say, a 16-page comic every month, I would have to do something that people are going to pick up every month. Mm-hmm. So it had to be a larger story, because I don't want to reinvent the wheel every single month. So I would have to tell a longer story and break it up into chunks, which was a dynamic I was familiar with, because I grew up reading superhero comics, you know, and it was something that I hadn't done up to that point professionally. I hadn't worked on superhero comics really. So that was creatively, that was the risk. I wasn't sure how I was going to be accepted. But I mean, that plays an important role in taking that step of, okay, I'm going to plunk money down to publish this thing that may or may not sell. But that's the risk. Like, I got to do it. I got to try it. And I'm like, okay, well, and then in those steps, I kind of developed, maybe 16 pages is not enough for $5, which is what I was selling the issue for. Like $5 cover price back in 2012 was a lot, right? So I'm like, okay, I should do 24. Could I humanly do 24 pages a month plus cover? And really, I just had to go for it. And it was scary and weird, but I just had to do it and test myself. And I figured, well, I'll do it for a year. And if I flop, at least I have 12 cool comics, you know, if it doesn't go anywhere. And who knows, it might've not gotten past the second issue, you know, but But luckily, just word of mouth and no real marketing muscle. It was just people and friends like spreading the word. Mm-hmm. Helped me have to go back to press on the first issue in the middle of working on the second issue. And so that grew and it's been growing organically since. But yeah. But that's what it took, like that jump where it's like, okay, could I afford to print an issue? And if I sell through, if I sell all of it, is that mm-hmm. enough to pay my rent and print for the next issue?
Yeah. Right.
So that was tough. And that's why it was a risk, because I wasn't sure if it was going to sell. But really, it just took a little bit of math, and the print run was low enough where I could handle it. You know, I don't know if I could have handled anything more than 400 copies, which was what the first issue went for.
Yeah. So it was just kind of a do or die. And you did say math, not meth, right?
Sorry. Could be both.
It could be both.
Just doing math for 24 hours straight, figuring out
a lot of comics done on all that meth.
Meth might help right now.
Yeah. The old Frank Miller plan.
There we go.
I mean, you're not wrong.
He didn't do meth. I mean,
just that was coke. Okay, that was a lot of coke.
Yeah. Classy meth. Yeah. Cool meth. Sunglasses meth.
He is my biggest influence, so that checks out.
That's what. And never mind. I'll stop.
Yeah, not a bad way.
Lean into it.
Yeah. That's like, doing cocaine all the time isn't necessarily bad. Like, so a lot of cool people do cocaine all the time.
That's true.
Some of my favorite musicians always coked up.
Artists too. Yeah, yeah, it's true.
It's all right.
Oh God. you know, you also have done a few works in Marvel as well. Will you eventually cross over? You think, have you ever gotten that DC call yet, or what do you think?
Who knows?
We have to ask.
I've talked to DC a bunch, but it's been a decade long flirt. Hmm. It's nothing has happened. has happened.
Yeah, now with Black Label.
Yeah, they have.
Seems
that.
Like that'd be a perfect fit.
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah, the perfect fit. Every other year, there's something that I'd be perfect for, but either I'm too busy doing something, or they change editorial halfway through. But something right. happens. You know, there's always something behind the scenes. But luckily, I got to work with every other company around. You know, Marvel, IDW, everyone, Fantagraphics. You know. And Image too, and which is why I felt comfortable taking Copra to Image, because I already had a relationship with them that went back many years. So that was sort of like the perfect place for Copra, I thought. I'd love to work on other stuff, but right now it's like I just want to, because of that break that I took right now, all I want to think about is Copra. That is like, why did I ever leave you? Oh my God.
Right. You already have kind of your Suicide Squad comic anyway, so like, why would you really have to write Suicide Squad at this point? Not that you wouldn't want to, but also money. I know, but.
Right. I'd be covering myself essentially, which is weird.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
No, I could think of something. I could always think of something. I always try to like think of the property that I'm working on and try to give it my best while honoring its history and its potential. So I mean, if I work on Suicide Squad for DC proper, it'd be a different monster altogether. I wouldn't just rehash some old stuff or anything, or do expected, you know. I always want to do something a little different, something that's a little off, and you know, hopefully exciting, at least for me, just to keep me entertained. But we'll see what DC says.
What characters would you bring back, just like off the top of your head, like who would you bring?
From Suicide Squad specifically?
Yeah, yeah. Just like immediately off the top of your head.
Oh, man. Captain Boomerang.
Yeah.
That'd be the first. Yeah. That'd be the first.
In his old costume, too.
Oh, of course. With that blue blouse.
Yeah. Yes.
Fuck that little cap he's got now. No. I'm giving him the blouse, the scarf, the little hat, everything.
I dig that totally.
I dig all the old school dudes. The Bronze Tiger without the tiger mask on.
Yeah.
I like that.
Punch. I think you have to bring Punch back.
Oh, because, like, Punch no one... and Julie. Yeah. I love all of them so much. Yeah. The thing now,
Manhunter. Like
Oh my god, yes. Now, I don't know what the status is with most of these characters in a post 52 post rebirth world. Like, I know some of them are back, but I'm not quite sure what their status is. Like, I know Boomerang's back, but yeah, I don't know think it's not the original Boomerang.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're just I think it's the same guy. I think it's just he looks all like, you know,
younger,
chopped up now. Younger and sexier. Yeah, he's not. But like, I don't know. There's always some way you could like time warp them or do something, right? There's always a way to explain it. I mean, Hickman just basically rewrote the entire X-Men and explained everything in like perfect order. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's always some way you can do it.
Oh my God. Yeah. Now you're giving me all these ideas. Now I can't let it go.
Perfect.
Yeah. How do you feel about the Suicide Squad films? Or one existing and one upcoming?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll be honest with you. It was okay. It was fine. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going into it expecting to love it or anything. But as far as those kind of movies go, it was fine. It served its purpose. It was just entertaining, right? But I got to say, the single most important thing to come out of that movie, the first one, was that it got John Ostrander back on everyone's mind, right? All those books got back into print, which previously were not. And people were rediscovering or discovering those bodies of work, you know, which John Ostrander wrote with his late wife, Kim Yale, artist Luke McDonald, and a slew of other artists. But those are important works, I think. I mean, not because I just love them personally, but they're good comics. Mm-hmm. And they propelled this new juggernaut, you know, the movie, you know, even though really it's also based on the new 52 Suicide Squad, really, you know, with the whole Harley Quinn angle on it, I get it. Mm-hmm. But really, like, the heart of Suicide Squad are those comics. And the fact that they're back in print, we have that movie to thank. So about the new one, I don't know. I hope it's good. I mean, I don't wish it ill. I don't want it to tank. and I'm sure it'll be good from, you know, from everything we could tell up to this point. I'm sure it's going to be fine.
I did hear James Gunn was looking more at the John Ostrander's comics. I heard that. So maybe, and like, it looks, it's funny because they're still not revealing like all of what, like they revealed the cast, but they didn't reveal who everyone's playing yet. So he's being like very hush hush on who the cast is. But, you know, he really likes taking like weird members, like kind of like Guardians and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I have a feeling that we're going to see a lot of the old, like very strange characters in the upcoming one. So we shall see.
Well, I got to say, James called me up a couple months ago asking for my advice. And I'm like, I can't help you out, man. I got my own comic to do. You got to have to figure it out. They're paying you big bucks to figure this out. But let's see what he does, man.
All right. No, all right.
Come on, Jimmy. You're on your own, buddy.
Are you going to be on the set and everything? On the director's chair?
I don't know. We'll see. Maybe if I finish issue 5 on time or something, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
That'd be awesome.
Ooh, what about this? Speaking of movies, if they were to make a Capra movie, Copra, sorry. See, I've been saying it right in my head the whole time, and then I just fucked it up. All right. Well, if they were to make a Copra movie, who would your like dream castings be? Like, do you have any actors in mind for these characters?
We're playing Wizard Magazine game. That's my favorite
cool
game.
Voices. I think Michael J. White has Manhead.
I love that game. I would, man, but I suck at actors' names and stuff. I would play, I would ideally like Grace Jones to play Gracie, obviously.
Ooh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even now, even today, she could still kick ass.
She looks
still
great.
Good.
She,
yeah. Yeah. You know who would also be good? In a few years would be David Bowie's daughter. Have you seen her? She's amazing.
No.
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Well, because she said she's like a teenager, right? Like a teenage model. Mm-hmm. And like him and Amon had obviously the most beautiful daughter on the planet. She's just starting to act too, I hear. So she would be amazing.
nice.
Yeah. Oh, just shave her head, and yep. have some Keith Haring patterns on her body, and we're good to go.
That'd be perfect.
Let's see. There's, I forget the name of this actor, but one of the bad guys in RoboCop, the guy with the glasses and the, he's balding. He was the dad in that 70s show. Who was that guy?
Yep.
Red.
That guy was
first name.
That
Michael.
Guy would be Boomerang. That guy would be my Captain Boomerang. Well, I modeled him after. I modeled my Boomer after him, so I should know his name. But again, I'm terrible at actors' names.
But yeah, Ed Harris. No, that's somebody else. That's not wrong one. All those guys look the same to me.
I'll take Ed Harris.
Ed Harris would be perfect. Let's see who else we got. What about Goofy? Goofy, was that right?
The green-haired one. Yeah, Guthy. I call it Guthy. Mm-hmm.
Guthy.
You could call it Goofy. It's cool.
Goofy.
I don't know. I would look for some MMA fighters for sure.
Ooh, yeah.
Maybe I don't know any of in that world, but.
I like Charlize Theron too. I think she always plays a good badass.
Oh yeah. No, you're totally right. Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Yeah, maybe the lady that plays the human Terminator in the new Terminator that's coming out. I watched the trailer for that like 4 times yesterday.
Yeah, I cannot wait to see that.
Yeah, it's going
to
be tight.
I'm so excited. It's probably going to let me down.
Well, I haven't watched it.
You haven't watched
the trailer looks awesome.
I haven't watched the trailer.
Linda Hamilton was like my idol when in the 90s, so I'm looking forward to seeing her back on the big
screen.
Kicking
ass.
Lots of guns.
The new kind of Terminator that's the liquid kind and the solid kind at the same time, and it can turn into two Terminators, which is badass.
They're nano machines.
Mm-hmm. Nano means small.
Like micro?
That's what I know about science.
Nano is smaller than micro.
It is, yeah.
We know science.
Oh, you're naturals.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll stop.
What about the, let's see, for Lloyd, I just need a dude with a little pencil-thin mustache.
Ooh.
Brunette.
You know what?
Pencil-thin mustache.
Like Salvador Dali?
No, that's a big twirly thing. Though that would be funny, though.
That would be funny.
I think Peter Serafinowicz would be good.
Who?
He could grow a good mustache.
Who?
He plays the Tick on the live action Amazon The Tick. He was the friend that got turned into a zombie in Shaun of the Dead.
Okay.
The business guy that hated.
Yeah. He's a beefy dude, guy. But yeah, he could work.
Yeah, this guy's skinnier.
I was thinking the main dude from Goodfellas. What's his name? The actor from Goodfellas.
Oh, the main one?
Who, Al Pacino?
There were so many.
No, the other, the younger dude. I can't believe I'm blanking on his name. This is ridiculous.
The younger guy.
Not Al Pacino.
Maybe Al Pacino right with the reverse aging.
Robert De Niro.
Oh, you're thinking of Joe Pesci. You're thinking he would be. I think he would be perfect, actually.
You're killing me.
Just screaming?
Hold on. Ray Liotta.
Oh,
there you go.
Ray Liotta. Super old now, though.
You're right.
And he looks kind of pudgy. I think he's been also cocaine.
Well, he quit smoking, though.
Oh, did he quit cocaine?
He quit smoking with Chantix. I've seen commercials for it. The drug that drives you insane. Yeah. But you stop smoking, at least.
Is there a duck in that commercial?
There might be.
Or is that the ad?
This is Ray Liotta hallucinating from the Chantix. But at least he's not smoking. There's a duck that tells him to kill. But, man, you know, he's not smoking anymore. So it's all good.
Yeah. Okay, what about Rax?
Oh, man. I haven't even thought of that at all. I know. Anthony Kiedis.
Ooh, nice.
I like that. Can he act?
Yeah, he was in Point Break.
Sure. Yeah, he was in the best movie ever, Point Break.
He shot himself in the foot.
That's right.
Very convincingly.
And that was the last time he acted.
I like this game. I'm into it.
Yeah, it's fun. All right. Chango. Chango? Yeah.
Chango. It's the first time I've ever said it out loud. Let's see.
Yeah. See, this makes it even more fun.
I don't know, guys. I don't know. I gotta go. The thing is, I gotta go through like a list of movies, like just headshots. Like a,
it's like that says Knuckles of Glory.
Yes.
Where's Tongo from?
He's American. He's American.
He's American.
Yeah.
Okay. He's got like a buzz cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got Wesley Snipes' haircut from Demolition Man.
I believe. Oh, yeah. Sweet. That's where that's from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We remember that movie, Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Not all the way. It's the first thing I remember about that movie.
Oh, is that Demolition Man? I think that was Judge Dredd for some reason, but I think you're right. I think you're totally right.
Yeah, yeah. It's Taco Bell. They, and then they also have the sex helmets. Those are fun.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because the basically the same cast for both movies, for Demolition Man and first Judge Dredd.
Well, Snipes isn't in Judge Dredd, though.
That's true. That's why it wasn't as good.
Yeah.
No, Snipes.
Yeah.
They got rules.
And Sandra Bullock.
Well, she was in both, wasn't she?
Is she? No, she's not.
Is she not the no. Judge, whatever, Judge Anderson and Judge Dredd? Who's in that?
I don't know. Some other brown-haired lady.
Okay.
Brown-haired white lady.
Like I said, yeah.
All right. Well, that was fun. We can think more upon our acting choices another day.
All right.
We will have taken up.
Yeah. Listeners, weigh in. Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Totally.
Tweet at us.
Oh yeah. What is you know, do your tweet yourself or Instagram yourself. I'm saying wrong words.
What are your socials?
Oh, what are your socials?
I'm on everything. On Twitter, I'm Michelle Fife. On Instagram, I'm just M Fife. I'm on Facebook. And that's it actually. But I should be able. I also have a website. Just go to michellefifa.com. I have updates and art and links and essays and everything there. And I also have a Patreon as well, where I do even more essays and rare art and sneak peeks and web comics and stuff. I just really geek out there. I figured that's the one corner where I could really let it all hang out. So check me out on all those places. Yeah. You know, I just love talking about old comics, new comics, comics in general, the art form, the business, the history, the future. It's all interesting to me, so I'm into it. Reach out.
Yeah, go support that.
Absolutely.
Buy Patreon. Also buy our Patreon.
Yeah, do both.
Do both.
Sweet.
And then pick up Copra volumes 1-5 available now from Image Comics, and Copra number 1.
Yay.
Also available from Image Comics. Hooray. And thank you so much for being on the show today. We super appreciate
it. Yeah, thanks, man.
That was super fun.
Thank you.
And thank you. Sorry for all the technical difficulties.
We got to figure it out now, though.
Yeah. It ain't nothing.
All right.
We got through it.
We did it. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening. We'll talk to you next week.